If you would, turn to back to Daniel chapter 9. Again, it's page 886 in your chair Bible, if you're using that. Page 886, Daniel chapter 9. And we'll be working through in a very broad way the first 19 verses here. Again, if it tickles your interest, come back Wednesday and we'll dive further. A question for us as we get into this, and I hope you, when we read together the Word of God, you look at what the passage is when Pastor announces it, and that this is Daniel's prayer of confession. I hope that you saw that maybe as a title above the text there in the chapter 9. And when we pray, do we pray in confession, pleading for God's merciful forgiveness? If you notice, the second song we sing, each of the hymns we have has a scripture verse or passage above it. And "Create in me a clean heart" comes nearly directly from Psalm 51, another prayer of confession in the Bible. There's many of them. But when we pray, do we really pray in confession? Do we really plead for mercy? Do we really confess the sin? And do we do it quickly? Or do we wait as long as we can? Waiting until conscience starts buzzing back there, or the Holy Spirit keeps poking us till we can't take it anymore? When we pray, when you pray, when I pray, do we confess even our part in national sin? I've got a goal this morning that as we're together this morning, as we are reading and studying God's Word together, even in a broad way, that we would be challenged and corrected by the example of Daniel here. And the result would be that our prayer life would be revolutionized a bit. Daniel's prayer here stands really as a testament and an example of how we should be confessing. We're going to go through some of those details together this morning. Just as we sang a moment ago, let's pray together and come to God just as we are. And as we do, I ask you to pray along in your heart that God would work in you this morning as we all pray together. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are holy, righteous in all your works. God, change us this morning. Change how we pray. Change how we confess our sin. God, even the sin of our nation. God, you don't give us your word just to read it together and to say nice things about it, but for it to transform us in conjunction with the Holy Spirit so that we can be more like Jesus Christ. God, we are sinful people. We need to confess often. So change our hearts. Change how we pray and confess and how we plead for mercy. But not because of our goodness. God, we pray you would work in us today for your name's sake, for your glory, because of your righteousness, your mercy. Work in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Without going into a very, very long introduction, you can ask my wife, as I've been preaching through this passage, the introduction took a whole week. I am condensing a lot, so buckle up. We're going to move fast. But without going into that long, long introduction, Daniel 9, if you remember as we read, it says there in the first couple of verses that Daniel was reading in the books, the Old Testament. Particularly in Jeremiah, where God told Jeremiah the people, specifically the southern kingdom, was going into captivity for 70 years. The 70 years was calculated by God based on the number of times they failed to keep the seven-year jubilee and letting their land lie fallow. And so because they didn't give the land rest, because they were greedy and idolatrous and sinful and immoral, God said, I'm going to give the land all the rest you failed to. You're going to be gone for 70 years. And Daniel is looking around, and he's read the book of Jeremiah, and he's seeing the 70 years is up, and then he remembers from the book of Isaiah that God has pre-named the person, the emperor from Persia, who is going to send the Jews back, this guy named Cyrus. And Daniel's looking around, having just lived through the takeover of Babylon from King Nebuchadnezzar's grandson by the Medes and Persians, and now the emperor of the Persian, Mede and Persian Empire is none other than Cyrus. And Daniel, seeing these things aligning, is going, we still haven't changed. We've spent 70 years in captivity, and we're still worshiping the idols that sent us into captivity. We're still rejecting God, rebelling against God, the cause for sending us into captivity. We haven't changed any. Daniel, seeing current events compared to what he reads in the Old Testament, prompts him to pray. And he prays here a prayer of confession. You read here, and he says, after he perceived the 70 years, he turned his face to God, seeking him by prayer. And he prayed, verse 4, to the Lord my God, and made confession. We have a few people here in our body that are over 70. We won't point you out, okay? My wonderful people who are here who are over 70, back when you say we're an adult, let's call it mid-20s, if a 13-year-old came up to you and said, we should change national policy this way, do anything you want, communism, socialism, taxes, no taxes, whatever. If they came up and told you, we've got to change national policy, even as a 20-something-year-old, would you listen to them? No, right? Not all of their brain has come together yet. Now let's fast forward, and now you're, say, 40s, 50s. That 13-year-old whippersnapper comes up and says, hey, we need to change policy. Would you listen to him? Probably even more. No. I powdered your butt. I'm not listening, right? Daniel chapter 1 tells us here that Daniel was taken away as a young man. He's probably 13 to 16 years old, along with his three friends. And when he is taken away, he's a young man, and he's taken on purpose by Nebuchadnezzar to teach him to be a good government bureaucrat. And so he's going to have him, Daniel and his friends, taught Babylonian. He's going to have them learn the culture, be changed into worshipers of their gods. He's going to feed them all the good foods. And we find Daniel and his friends go, "I'll have the vegetables and water, please." What this is showing to us is Daniel went into captivity obeying God, honoring God, loving the Lord his God with all he was. This wasn't a new thing for him. But even if he had been one of those, maybe out there with signs, you know, peaceful protesters, by the time he makes it to Babylon, he's following God. So did it shock you, as we read, that Daniel says, "We"? Verse 3 again, "I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments." Verse 5. "We have sinned." Do you know, notice that he says, "the Lord my God"? Do you notice that in his prayer, even though he's praying about the sin that the generations before him committed, he says, "we"? I don't know if you've ever been praying and praying for someone else and praying that God would fix them. And just conveniently forgotten what God needs to fix in you. Because don't we blame everybody else? I mean, haven't we been doing that since Genesis chapter 3? God comes in the cool of the day. "Adam, where are you?" "I'm in the bush." Like God doesn't know where he is. "Why are you in the bush? Did you eat the fruit?" "Well, the woman you gave me." So who's Adam really blaming? Eve, but ultimately God. And he sets such a fine example. So Eve, why did you give him the fruit? "The serpent you made." So who's she blaming? And ultimately God, right? Have these thoughts, ideas, or even words come out of your mouth? If only the other side would. Political party. If only that spouse. Do you know about dancing? You know the old adage, it takes two to tango, right? Now you're going to remember that. If there's fighting, why is there fighting? If our country is divided, why is it divided? Daniel knowing that there's problems not just with the people, but he's a part of it, pleads, he prays at the prayer of confession personally. The prayer of confession is personal. It's not, Lord, would you please forgive them because they're so rotten. I turned my face to the Lord. I gave it all my attention, and I prayed to him because I know he's good. And he quotes from Deuteronomy and Exodus here, the God who is merciful. Prayer of confession. I confessed to the Lord my God. This prayer of confession is personal. Notice even down all the way, we didn't read it, but verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing just the sin of the nation, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God. If we read carefully, the Bible will shock us. We read it purposefully, paying attention. Like Daniel praying when he had no authority, he had no pull to integrate and to have idols as the national worship for Judah when they fell to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had no pull as a young man to go and say, hey, King Jehoiakim, let's rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. Even though God said, give in. Daniel had no real, as we look at it from a human perspective, culpability. But he still prays because he knows he is part of the problem. Really the opposite of what we naturally do. We naturally try and blame everybody else instead of going, God, I'm the problem. And notice as he prays here, he prays personally, not just by using, this is my God, I'm praying to the Lord I have a personal relationship with. But in verse 3, one of the details we'll deal with on Wednesday night is that he turned his face to the Lord. Now I grant you, some of us, myself included, are wired even physically a little different, okay? And eye contact can actually be physically painful for some of us, okay? But don't you prefer it if you're trying to talk to someone that face-to-face, right? Even with the caveat, okay, if someone's having problems making eye contact, okay, still speak to them face-to-face, but understand maybe they're having some problems. It's hard for them. But don't we prefer that? Our teens got to be in adult Sunday school this morning. They found out I'm partially deaf. That's why I have hearing aids. I couldn't understand some things. My wife is in the other room at the house. It says something. Even with the hearing aids, it ain't happening, okay? Generally. And same way the other direction, okay? It's not just her. Why? Because it's easier to communicate. One of the things we'll deal with is sometimes when we pray, we'll deal with Wednesday night, maybe we make it personal, but it's what I like to call a drive-by prayer. Versus our full attention. Part of it's shame and guilt. But Daniel gives us a good example here. And that's part of it being personal, is he's taking his attention, and not all the other things aren't grabbing his attention as he's setting himself to talk to his God and confess this sin. Told you I move fast. The second thing we see here is this prayer of confession. Not only is it personal, but it is about our sin. And that's an uncomfortable topic, is it not? We like to think of ourselves very positively. A lot of the current psychology and thought along those lines is, you know, you got a positive reinforcement and, you know, oh, well, you did great here, but maybe this could be improved, and we kind of couch it. And the Bible tells us that sweet words are easier, right? Put a little honey to catch the flies. But sometimes we need some brutal truth. And it really is about sin. Look at verses 5 and 6, if you would. Daniel does not mince words here. He says, "We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land." We have sinned, not just as a general category, but as a specific one. Not only have we sinned, we've sinned. What is it? It's missing the mark. We've gone wrong. Romans chapter 3, what? We've all fallen short of the glory, the mark, the glory of God. No, he says we've sinned, we've done wrong. And in the Hebrew here, it's we've twisted and bent your word, God. You sent your prophets and we went, eep. I'll take the opposite, thank you. Not only have we done that, we've acted wickedly. This is criminal acts. God drew the line, we stepped over. Not only that, but we did it so maliciously, so on purpose. We've rebelled, we've revolted against God. And just in case, so we weren't alone in this, we turned aside, not just ourselves, but anyone else we could find. Romans chapter 1. Not only do we sin, but we try and make it approved by everybody. If that hits you like it does me, this list, and it's not exhaustive, maybe we got some confessing to do today, this week. God, you set up this authority in my life, even though it's a wicked government. And they said, go 70, and I went 73. I have jumped over the line. I've acted criminally. God, you said obey my parents. I've sinned against them, against you. God, you said that this is your design, and I've gone outside of that and twisted what you said. In John, 1 John 1, 5, it's page 1213. You can look it up later. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message we've heard from him," speaking of Jesus, "and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." Wonderful. Hallelujah, right? It doesn't stop there. If we say we have no sin, this is after the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Follow the logic. We deceive ourselves, and the truth, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, is not in us. Verse 9, though, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we, verse 10, say we have not sinned, we make him, we make God, we call him a liar, and his word is not in us. Why is Daniel listing all these sins? Because he knows he is one. Even if we've been saved by Jesus Christ, and that is the first step, is it not? That's the first confession we have to make. We have to admit, God, you're righteous, you're holy, and I have sinned, and Jesus is the only payment that's going to take care of that. I'm relying on Jesus. But even after that happens, after God gives us by his abounding grace and mercy forgiveness through Jesus Christ, are we perfect? If we say we have no sin, what are we doing? And who's our daddy then, as Jesus would say, ask? The devil, right? You are of your father, the devil. Remember who is he telling that to? Religious people, the Pharisees. Jesus did not mince words. We still sin after the glory of salvation. If we say we don't, we're lying. But there's hope if we confess, as Daniel is doing here in chapter 9. God is faithful, that is all he always will, and he's just, that is, he's right to do so, to forgive us of our sins. That's why we need to be practicing Daniel 9. Because maybe you're like me. You do it, no one saw it. You think, I got away with it, and then conscience is back there. It's not Jiminy Cricket, right, you know. And then conscience isn't done with you, and the Holy Spirit starts, you feel the distance from God. Are you happy now? And this internal war is going back and forth. And you're trying to hold out and not admit that you did this and just try and live as if it didn't happen, right? Even though you chose to do it. And you get more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. Well, what's the solution? It's not like God doesn't know. Confess. Daniel is praying here personally, a prayer of confession about even his own sin. Lastly, number three, this is a prayer of confession. This prayer of confession is pleading for God's merciful forgiveness. Jump down to verse 9, if you would. And this happens, this is listed a few times here in the prayer in various forms. But here's the most clear, verse 9. In contrast to what belongs to the Jews, to us, as we pray this sort of prayer, open shame, that is, everybody should see that we're guilty as all get out, or guilty as sin. He lists things that belong to God, righteousness being one of them in verse 7. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Why is that relevant? For we have rebelled against him. Because of our lack of forgiving to others, we often think of God in a bad light. We give him a bad rap. And maybe sometimes it's not even our forgiving other people, it's we haven't been forgiven by others. And they withhold it, and they're not merciful, and they're trying to just get anything and everything they can from you. And do not be mistaken. Daniel even writes here, God, you are righteous in all your works, including the calamity you have going on right now for us. God's righteous judgment. And it's good. So don't think God's mercy and forgiveness, remove that. Ask David with Psalm 51. The child dies. But Daniel here recognizes what Moses is told upon the mountain in Exodus 34, which becomes really a foundation for the rest of Scripture. When Moses is going up on the mountain, because the first time he comes down with the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the Israelites are breaking most of them. And God's about to destroy him and start over with Moses. And I can only imagine Moses' wife going over there, shaking her head, pointing at Moses, and don't you dare, buddy. I've already had two sons. We're done. We're not starting a whole nation here. And it's amazing. I've just been through, now started Judges this morning in my personal time, and how many times God says, Moses, I'm going to start over with you. I'm just going to wipe him out. Happens a lot. Moses says, God, I can't lead these people like you've called me to do unless you're with me. I need to know you're here. I need to see you, see your glory. And he asks, and God says, well, you can't see me face to face and live. So I'm going to put you in the rock. I'm going to pass by you. And I'm going to tell you what I'm like. And here's what God says he's like. The Lord, Exodus 34, verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Do you notice how many times Daniel says, God, you're merciful, you're forgiving. You hold steadfast love to those who love you. Do you know what he's doing? He's paraphrasing Exodus 34. If you look up Exodus 34, these first 9-10 verses in one of the cross-reference resources, if they're accurate, you'll find it spread throughout the Bible repeatedly. This is a core passage. Even in Matthew 11, when Jesus is asked, what are you like? And here, God in the flesh says, I am gentle and lowly. He's repeating the same ideas. Why should we confess? Because we sinned, We've done it. But because God is merciful and forgiving, most of you know, especially if you come to Sunday school, we've got furry friends. We've got a new one that was given to us. If someone goes to give you a dog, really think about it, because the free ones, there's a stigma there for a reason, okay? And the new one had to be trained a little bit, still does. Had to learn not to do things in the house. The last time it happened, it was an accident. Drank too much water, the water came up. And she had learned now, because we've had her for a few months, and what happens?
Ears go back. She slinks, right? And
collar to go, no, you're not supposed to do this, and
shuffles.
Wants to go away as soon as possible, right? Isn't that a good picture of us? Why we so often don't confess, because we are ashamed. To us belongs open shame. And we know, God, I've done it again. God, I've sowed discord in our nation. I've not made peace. And we slink. And we don't want to come because it hurts. There's guilt. There's shame. But oh, the relief. Because God isn't just a just judge. He's merciful and forgiving. If you read through the Bible, you find so many times when people do confess, how they address it as, we've sinned against you. Even David in Psalm 51, and there he is confessing to God, and what has he just done? Taken another man's wife, had relations with her, caused her to get pregnant, and to hide that, he's committed murder. Would you say he sinned against some other people? Did his actions, were they against other people? Do you know who he addresses and says, who I've sinned against in Psalm 51? God, I've sinned against you. Had he sinned against those people? Yes. And he needed to go make that right. And it causes repercussions for him, including when his son Absalom rebels, one of his advisors sides with Absalom because of it. But even though when we do sin and we may sin against another person, we're ultimately, because they're made in the image of God or their authority God has set over us or whatnot, we have sinned against God. But there is mercy and forgiveness. Maybe the person here you've wronged on this earth won't forgive you. But with God, there is always mercy and forgiveness. Kind of run over time, so let me just have us think as we close some questions here. Have you personally confessed your sin? Or are you always going, well, it's my parents' fault, it's my spouse's fault, it's my environment's fault, if God only made me rich and happy? Or is it, no, God, I've sinned. Have you even confessed the multitude of your sin? Did you notice the list there? Sin, rebelled. I mean, it just keeps going. And he's not exhaustive. These are even categories. Basically, to ask it another way, are we hiding some of it? And maybe you don't know all the labels that the Bible puts on it. That's fine. Just confess it. God, I did this. I know it's wrong because you said it. Most of all, when you pray confessing your sin, are you doing it because you know God is merciful and forgives? Do you have that knowledge, that assurance? Because if you're like me, sometimes we come, God, I really hope you forgive this time. It's not because of what God's word says, because of my own frailty. But don't you know, if you ask, he will. Oftentimes, Pastor and I, when we pray, either together or sometimes in the morning service, you'll hear us pray for awakening of the gospel. And the other thing is revival. Revival of us, the church. Do you know where that needs to start? How about with some personal confession? God, we've been seeking happiness and joy in all the things of the American dream. And then we found out it's a nightmare and we're still searching for it. Oh, God, forgive. Pray purposely, knowing God will forgive. Challenge you, even go through this passage this week. Even do as Jesus does at times and pray scripture back to God. As you're reading through, pray it back to God this week. Let's just see if it revolutionizes a few things. It's been doing it for me. I think we're in week 7 or 8 going through this in Cokeville. Week 12 will be the end. Because it's changing me. I hope it will do it for you. Spend some time with God this week in Daniel chapter 9. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. It hit hard. It's needed. God, forgive us for our sin. We are the problem. God, people are not awakening to the gospel because we are so busy pursuing everything but sharing it. God, we are fighting with a sin nature every day, and we so easily give into it. God, forgive. God, hear and act. Not because we deserve it, because of your great name. And we come to you, even though we bear shame, we come confessing our sin because we know you are merciful and forgiving. We give you thanks for that. We claim it through Jesus Christ, the righteous who died in our place, who took the penalty of our sins and forgave us. Thank you. Change our hearts, change our prayer life this week. And may it be a lasting change. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming, and we'll be dismissed.